It's time to talk money.
To heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
I got hairy legs, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper.
I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. This is the Financial Guys Media Network. You've got Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu live in studio today. Always an open mic session here. You can reach us at 844-434-4TFG. Text us 716-817-0716. And as always, folks, if you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS.
I can't believe Spiraza is not here. I'm filling in for Mike Spiraza. And you know what his excuse is? I had a baby.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
Like, my baba and grandmother popped out a kid in the fields of Ukraine and went right back to work.
Like, how much did Mike have to actually do?
Nothing. What a slacker. But we're going to hear from him later in the broadcast.
We are. We're so excited for him. He'll give some details on his new beautiful, beautiful baby daughter. We've got a blockbuster of a show here, folks. We're going to talk some tax season tips with Esther Gulyas a bit later. U.S. government running out of money? Come on. Demonic Democrats fighting against a born alive bill, Stefan.
Go figure. Surprise, surprise.
I thought there were at least some things that we could agree on, but we'll get to that detail. Alec Baldwin actually charged with involuntary manslaughter for that accidental shooting on the set of Rust. And we're also going to talk a little bit about our President Joe Biden and his storing of classified materials.
Yeah, and a huge story this week, the New York Post broke it. A record number of people leaving New York State for Florida. You know, former Governor Cuomo said it was because of the sunshine. It had nothing to do with the taxes or overregulation. But 65,000 people ditched their New York State driver's license and registered in Florida. That was more than last year, up almost 50% since 2017. Incredible. But remember, Governor Hochul, she actually encouraged people to leave New York for Florida, while their great governor, Ron DeSantis, says, come on down.
Just jump on a bus and head down to Florida where you belong, okay? Get out of town. Get out of town.
They did.
Represent our values.
Good job, Kathy.
You are not New Yorkers.
You have the governor of New York saying all Republicans need to get on a bus and leave the state and come to Florida. I mean, who would say something so ridiculous to say, if you don't agree with me, then you don't even have a right to be here?
Well done, Kathy. Just like your predecessor, right? Andrew just saying, get out. If you don't agree with us, get the hell out of here.
Now, careful what you wish for, because they are leaving. And one of the people who did leave Buffalo, New York for Florida is Dave Hutchinson. And in all full disclosure, Hutch is a very dear friend. We were together. Don't hold it against him for knowing me. But we were together at Channel 7 way back in the day. Former South Buffalo resident. He's the owner of MVP Realty in Citrus County, Florida. So, Dave, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us, buddy. It's good to hear from you.
I'm here.
Hi, Dave. Hey, yeah, thank you. Thanks on my behalf, too. You got Mike Hayflick here, and we're really excited to have you on. Not a big surprise you left. Give us a feel for why.
Well, mine was pretty much a personal thing. My father lived down here. He was getting up in years. My mom was a traveling nurse living in Colorado at the time. I used to come down and visit. Beautiful place. Sunshine, great winters. So, you know, upon further discussion with my significant other, she finally came down for a visit. She loved it. And we moved down here. That's the personal aspect of it. But, then you also take a look at, the taxes, the way they do business here. It's a lot different than New York. I'd like to have a gas stove all my life.
Hey, Dave, it's Stefan. So obviously you're in real estate. Your company is MVP Realty. I mean, the running joke up here in New York is that Andrew Cuomo and Kathy Hochul should be given Realtor of the Year awards for sending so many people down to Florida. Like, do you run into folks from Buffalo in your neck of the woods?
Oh, my God, yeah. There's a ton of people down here from Buffalo. that are bailing. Now, some of them are just here for the winter, not all. But it's getting to be so many Buffalonians or Western New Yorkers down here. I'm ready to start a Bills Backers Club here.
Oh, you'll have a lot of people showing up. I love what you said, though, about doing business down there is even easier. Give us a sense of what you mean by that.
Well, number one, they don't have a lot of hoops to jump through. When I started my photography business up in Buffalo, getting all the licenses, paying all the fees. And if you have a business here, they put you to the forefront. They want you to stay here. They want you to do business. They don't tax you to death. New York, they hurt me pretty bad. But here, it's a lot easier. You fill out the application, you pay a nominal fee, and you're in business. And that goes with the state, too, when you register with the state. It's really, really easy.
Hey, Dave, Stefan again. So it's not just people from Buffalo that are moving to Florida, especially over the past 2 years. In your experience in real estate, do you find there's a lot of people from so-called blue states, whether it's New York or California or places like that are ditching their areas for Florida?
Oh, Illinois, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, that whole Northeast quarter. And like I said, Illinois, people are just bailing. Matter of fact, I just got a brand new neighbor a couple years ago, and he's from Illinois. He couldn't take it. Everything that they were doing, raising taxes every year. They thought they were going bankrupt. So he's like, I got to sell my house. Yeah, I got to get out of here. So, yeah, I've seen them from all over the place. California, if they move here from California, they're buying a huge house. A house that would probably cost them $3 million in California. They're buying one here for maybe $900,000 to $1.5 million. And they're living really easy. So, yeah, there is but the Northeast corridor, a lot of people fleeing.
Well, I mean, look, Hutch, I even think of my own situation. All of our kids are here. My in-laws are here. I feel trapped that I don't want to leave. Like, I'm a prisoner almost, basically staying in my home in New York. But what are some of the benefits? Last question for you, buddy. Not just the sunshine, the beautiful weather, but just the benefits of living in your neck of the woods compared to the People's Republic of New York.
Well, this area here that I live in, and I'll give you a reference point of Crystal River, Florida. We're right along the Gulf Coast. It's a rural community. And I got to tell you, people here know how to vote. And they do not, it's not a nanny state. I fill out an application and took a class, and I got a concealed carry permit. I can go in, buy a pistol, as long as I'm not on the FBI's most wanted list. And I haven't had
yet. Yet.
I mean, you get a pistol in 3 days. No questions asked. No questions asked. I went for my, I didn't need to go for the class, but I went for the class because I got 21 years in the Marine Corps. If you're in the military, they'll give it, you don't even have to take the class. But when I went there, there had to be 40 people in that class, all wanting to get a concealed carry permit. It's fairly safe here, too.
God bless the state
of
Florida.
I don't know that I would mess with anybody because I don't know if they're carrying.
Right.
So it sounds like they trust you, they respect you, they don't mind you protecting yourself and your family.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Thanks for your service, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Hutch. Thank you so much. And then, Dave, work at your MVP Realty, in case there's anyone listening who's thinking of moving down to Florida. Where can folks find you, Dave, whether it's the Google machine or Facebook?
We can do dhutchrealty.com mm-hmm. or give me a call, 352-436-3922.
All right. Hey, it's really good hearing from you, buddy. God bless you. Good to hear from you. And thank you for your service. And the next time you're in Buffalo, we'll go see Maria or Tony for a haircut in South Buffalo and West Seneca.
Oh, I love that, Tony.
All right, brother. Hang in there. Good
Mike,
hearing from
Stephon,
you.
Stephon, take care of yourself. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Dave Hutchinson, former South Buffalo resident, former being the key word there. Finding some happiness down there.
Amen to that.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. You got Mike Hayflick and Stephon Mihailu on the Financial Guys Media Network. All righty. Welcome back, folks. This is the Financial Guys Media Network. And, again, if you'd like to reach out to Dave Hutchinson, we just had Dave on. He's in Florida now. He was a South Buffalo resident. You can reach him at 352-436-3922. Debt ceiling, we're going to talk a little bit about this. Stephon, it seems like our country has a little bit of a tough time managing money.
They should hire the financial guys.
Telling you.
Maybe President Biden, McCarthy, and Congress should hire you guys.
It's unbelievable. You know, you've got $31.4 trillion now of debt. That's just federal debt. That's over $94,000, Stephon, per American citizen. I mean, the newborn baby and the 98-year-old that served our country. You know, every single American citizen, $94,000. Just imagine this. You got a credit card in your family, I'm sure, maybe a couple. The Washington politicians have a choice. They can either reduce spending or simply raise the debt ceiling. Money borrowed, right? More money borrowed. And what do they do?
And President Biden's saying, absolutely not. We're not going to negotiate with the Republicans. So President Biden, from a politically strategic standpoint, is saying, we're going to let it crash. We're not going to pay our obligations because the Republicans will pay it politically. But I think the one person who's really resonating in D.C. is Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman. She's basically saying, cut your spending and live within your means.
The government will keep on running. Yes, people's Social Security checks will keep coming. Military will keep getting paid. Important things will keep happening and keep getting paid. But we have to do a good job as a Republican conference. It's a serious issue. And the spending in Washington that's happened for decades now with both parties is the reason why we're in this terrible place. And Republicans are committed to work on the budget. We want to get it under control. We want it to be balanced.
So think of the debt ceiling. Basically, it's really the maximum amount the federal government is able to borrow that's already been approved. And so, look, we're both parents. Mm-hmm. If our kids came to us and said, oh, by the way, I maxed out my credit card, what should we do? As responsible parents, we'd say, stop spending.
Yes.
We're not going to tell them, okay, keep spending. We're going to raise the limit of your credit card. And that's the debate that's happening in Washington right now.
And as a financial planner, I mean, this really hits a nerve with me and with many of the people I work with. I mean, one of the first things we talk about in a first visit is, tell me about yourself. What do you make? Estimate, what do you think you spend? You know, do you have debt? These are important issues to just live and be successful in working years and in retirement years. And when you see how irresponsible our government can be, it just absolutely is infuriating. It's exactly what we would not be teaching our teenagers.
And that's the frustrating part, is that the president is playing politics with the debt ceiling. And he has drawn a line in the sand saying zero negotiations with Republicans, because the president of the United States, Joe Biden, he wants basically to have a big hole busted and go into default on some of the money that's owed by the United States of America. Because from his perspective, then he's going to turn around and blame Republicans and say, oh, you're cutting Social Security. Oh, you're cutting, you know, Medicare. You're cutting all of this. Well, it's like, yes, you have to cut spending when you're at your limit, like you would your credit card.
Like you would your credit card. You know, we all get paid to do what we do, right? If you work, you get paid. You get your checks, and you have to figure out, what I receive after taxes, after deductions, how do I best spend that money? You don't simply get more money. You don't go to your boss if you've run out of money and say, hey, you know, you got to kick an extra $4,000 into my paycheck next week. No, you don't do that. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. John from Rochester has a comment on this. John, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
go
buddy.
Buffalo tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Go Bills.
You got it.
I'll be there with bells and whistles, I'll tell you.
But, nice.
And I'll guarantee it, guys. The Super Bowl win is a lock. tomorrow's just going to be typical blowout. Maybe
I hope they're peaking at the right time, John. I hope they're peaking.
From your lips to God's ear. So what are your thoughts on the debt ceiling?
Well, listen, it goes back to the media. The media is in the back pocket of the Democratic Party. They're the Democratic Party has a media complex. Locally, you got the Buffalo News. You know who the Buffalo News uses as their national reporters? The New York Times and the Washington Post. The Democrat and Chronicle in Rochester uses the USA Today and the Associated Press. All these organizations, and then you've got ABC, CBS, and all this, and then in Rochester we've got WXXI, the NPR station. I know the NPR station in Buffalo. I listen to. I try to get a balance between both conservative and also leftist or liberal telecasts and radio broadcasts, just to get a balance of things. And it's unbelievable the amount of negative, anti-conservative, anti-Republican media coverage that comes out, and the debt ceiling is one of the issues. They're going to demonize the Republicans. They already have started, and not really tell the true story of what you guys had mentioned earlier. The concept: 84% of the budget and bills are going to be paid. And it's a small minority, 16%, and I don't think this really kicks in until like June or July to begin with.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost you there, John. Whoops. But no, you're 100% correct that it won't be kicking in until June and July. You know, and the media narrative really isn't in our favor, to say the least. So we certainly appreciate you sharing your sentiments on that one.
Yeah, and go Bills. Hey, we are going to bring on a guest here, Tracy from Payroll Processing. So Payroll Processing does a great, great job with businesses processing payroll on time, accurately. Tracy, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Hi. Good, good. Give us a sense of what you, your sister Jenna, what do you guys do for people, and why do you feel you do it so well?
So we take care of all the payroll needs for over 800 companies in our area. We're local, so you can call our office, you can talk to me, you can talk to Jenna, and we can help you with all your payroll needs. Just to add on what you guys were just talking about with debt, recently with the end of the year, all New York businesses had to pay an extra FUTA credit reduction for all the money that New York State borrowed from the feds for unemployment during COVID. So, you know, people think that money, that unemployment money is free, but all of the businesses got hit with that to pay back the IRS. So that's one thing that we do for you guys. We figured that out, but unfortunately have to pass that cost on that you guys have to pay back to the IRS.
Hey, Tracy, this is Stefan. So you knowing that nugget of information, having those specific details, really knowing payroll, knowing taxes, why is it so important to bring on a company like yours, Payroll Processing, for a smaller business that feels swamped just trying to stay above water, let alone knowing all of these details?
Exactly. So we take care of all of that for you. Basically, you as a client would just have to call in your hours to us. We figure out the payroll taxes. Like I said, this FUTA credit reduction we figure out for you. You don't have to worry about anything. Just call your hours in. We produce the checks. We pay the taxes to the IRS and the state and take all that off your plate.
I'll tell you what, Tracy, companies like yours are so essential because it allows companies like ours and others to focus on their central mission, and that's helping clients,
exactly,
you know, in what they do and what they do to make money and the services, products they sell. So I think it's so important, two things, to allow people to focus on what they're really good at and have terrific partners like Payroll Processing to actually do the essentials, right? But maybe all those little nitpicky details that the business owner doesn't want to deal with, you guys can deal with.
Doesn't even think about. Yep, right. Exactly. We take care of all that for you. And, you know, and like I said, we're local. You can call us, ask us a question. We're here for you.
Tell us how our listeners can get in touch with you.
So you can give us a call at 716-668-5200. Our website is payproc.net, payproc.net. Send us an email, give us a call, and we're here to help.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Thank you. From payroll processing, folks, payproc.net, 716-668-5200. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. We are going to come up on a quick break here, folks. Don't go away. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be coming back with a little bit on Alec Baldwin getting charged with involuntary manslaughter, that accidental shooting on the set of Rust. We're going to be talking with Mike Spiraza a little bit later. He's got some great news. We're going to let him share. That's why he's not in one of these seats today, Stefan, right?
Slacker having a baby.
The
nerve of him.
I'll tell you what. We have one thing we want to plug here, and we'll do this a couple times today, but it's estate planning, transferring wealth with Charlie Spiraza and Anthony Zuffler. How to pass wealth tax-free. That's February 8th. 6:15 p.m. in person or online. You can register at thefinancialguys.com/events. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. You've got Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu on The Financial Guys Media Network. NFL game starting today, though, right? We have a big game, Kansas City against Jacksonville. Boy, I hope Jacksonville does something special, and we're hosting an AFC championship game.
I mean, I'm with John from Rochester that the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. I think they got that bad game against Miami out of the way, and they are gearing up towards beating the Bengals and then going on and beating the Chiefs in Atlanta.
Boy.
A home game against Jacksonville.
We can't be overdue, because overdue sounds like we'd actually won already, right? We've never done this, so we've never won a Super Bowl, so we are due, not overdue. Folks, if you think like us, if you need us throughout the week, we do manage money for a living, 833-FIN-GUYS. If you'd like to reach us right now, 844-434-4TFG. So Alec Baldwin finally finds out what the repercussions are, Stefan.
I've got a nickname for him, Bullets Not Blanks Baldwin Busted.
Oh, nice.
I'm channeling my Irv Weinstein here today. I used to work with Irv.
You win the alliteration championship today.
It's all Irv Weinstein. Yeah, charged with involuntary manslaughter. It was that shooting on the movie Rust. He was handed a gun.
Yep.
But he claims it had blanks, horrifically killed their cinematographer.
Claims he didn't pull the trigger either.
Right. Wrong. I mean, it's a fourth-degree felony, so he could get 18 months in jail and a $5,000 fine. But here's what's nuts. Here's what's nuts is the left-wing reaction to it. I mean, they're actually defending this guy.
My least favorite person, Joy Behar from The View, says it's only because of what Republicans, right? Claims he's being persecuted and prosecuted because of his politics. Has nothing to do with the fact that he actually shot and killed an innocent cinematographer.
Let's listen to this nutcase.
You know, the DA who is indicting him, or whatever the legal term is right now, she's a big Republican. I'm only saying this because Alec Baldwin is a target for Republicans. They cannot stand him. Okay?
But
I'm just saying.
But
I'm not saying anything more than that.
Yeah, please stop saying anything. Just stop.
She's literally the most vile human being, I think, on the planet. So, I really mean that.
Yeah, she's not winning any points with the financial guys or conservatives. But what's really important is the proper handling of a firearm. Whether you're on a movie set, you're at the gun range, if you have property where you're able to fire a firearm, gun safety for conservatives and supporters of the Second Amendment, we take it seriously. So joining us on the live line now is Ed Pettit. He's with Second Amendment Forever, based out of Niagara County, but Ed pretty much goes all over New York State. Ed, thanks for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Steph. I'm glad to be on the show.
So can you stress for us, whether you're Alec Baldwin or Joe Schmo handling a gun at the gun range, Ed, can you please stress for us the importance of safely and properly handling a firearm, whether you know there's bullets in it or not?
Well, it's absolutely absolutely important. The acronym for our group's name, Second Amendment Forever, is SAFE, because that's how important it is to us, that it is safety is very key to gun ownership. It's a tool. It's not a toy. That's first of all. But, you know, the NRA is probably the world's foremost organization that promotes gun safety. And unfortunately, that's the organization that Alec Baldwin has vilified in the past. Maybe if he would have paid attention to what they were teaching, he would have been better off now, and that person would be alive. But the first thing you need to do when handling a gun is make sure it's safe. Know for yourself whether there's live ammunition in it before you use it. And then if your intention is to shoot, you know, at a range or whatever, you need to handle the gun safely. You need to make sure that the barrel never crosses something that you're not willing to shoot at, you know, that never be pointed in an unsafe direction. And then you keep your hand off the trigger until you've sighted your target, you've verified there's nothing in front or behind the target that you could accidentally hit. And then when you're going to shoot, that's the only time you put your trigger on the finger or your, mm-hmm. your finger on the trigger.
Ed, this is my case. Like, you know, what really angers me is people like Joy Behar, they take our eye off of the real problem when they politicize these things. And that's exactly what she's doing here. Instead of talking about gun safety on movie sets, gun safety in your own home, things like that, actually getting maybe experts on her show to say, how could this have been avoided? How could the loss of a human life been avoided here? They immediately want to talk about how Alec Baldwin is not to blame, or insinuate that anyway, and just talk about who's going to then prosecute him. That's what I think is such a dangerous thing here. When people start to think guns are just part of politics, they don't appreciate the power of that tool, as you said.
Well, it's amazing when the left can actually search far and wide for any kind of a way to make a connection between a bad event and a Republican. And in this case, the person's hands was actually on the gun and pulled the trigger that resulted in someone being killed, and they act like you should be hands off, that there's no connection. There is a connection. When a gun is in your hands, it's ultimately your responsibility as to what happens with it. I feel, actually, in a way, I feel bad for Alec Baldwin if he, you know, only relied on a person handing him that gun and telling him it was safe for him to then point it at someone and pull the trigger. But on a case where there was a set that they know that there was also live ammunition had been on that set before, and the gun was actually a functioning firearm, not a prop gun, then, you know, he should have checked it. That's my opinion.
So, Ed Stefani here again. Can you stress for me groups like yours, you know, Second Amendment Forever? You mentioned the NRA. Maybe Alec Baldwin should have bought a membership and taken a safety course. But can you stress the importance that you instill into anyone that comes to you for any type of training or anything else about making sure that you handle any firearm with the deepest respect and care and safety?
Well, absolutely. We do that. We've all been, everyone I know that has been trained that way, either from their dad or whoever, or from a firearms instructor. Yeah, we take that very seriously because it's a matter of life and death, just like any tool. I personally think that the NRA Eddie Eagle program should be taught in all the grade schools. Mm-hmm. You know, the stop, don't touch, run away, find an adult if you come across a gun. Mm-hmm. Guns are part of our society. They're actually part of the fabric of our nation to keep us free. But it's a tool. And just like we have shop class in schools that teach you how to safely handle, and that's the most important reason for doing shop class, mm-hmm. is to make sure that you know how to safely handle a tool, we need to teach kids to stay away from guns, you know, when they're not obviously capable of handling them. You know, the Eddie Eagle program, that's what that's for. But then the NRA program around gun safety, the four steps of when you actually are at the point of handling a gun, you need to follow those steps, no matter how experienced you are or not. Because the two factors that affect gun safety the most are ignorance and complacency. Obviously, ignorance is the training issue. You need to be trained. But once you're trained, you can get complacent. That's why you need to constantly reinforce in your mind to handle that gun safely.
Amen to that. Well, listen, if anyone in our neck of the woods in Western New York, Rochester, you know, want to touch base with you about being educated in that capacity, how can they find Second Amendment Forever, Ed?
Well, we're on Facebook. It's Second Amendment Forever, Inc., and forever is spelled in two words. So we're on Facebook, and we're also on Twitter, which is the same, Second Amendment Forever, Inc., at SAFE, S-A-F-E, Niagara.
Perfect.
So, yeah, come. We meet every month. Come on out. You're a bunch of great people, and we have trainers and FFLs and hunters and everything else in our group.
Well, we really appreciate you sharing your insights, especially about responsible gun ownership, handling a firearm, and thank you for what you do. Greatly appreciate it. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Same here.
All right,
thank
that's
you.
Ed Pettit, awesome. Second Amendment Forever. He's right. Like, training is so critically important. In full disclosure, Ed's a very dear friend of mine. He's a great guy. I've known him for a long time. And why on earth, if you're Alec Baldwin, if someone hands you a firearm and they say, oh, yeah, by the way, this one's not hot, it's fine. And then and then there's horrific tragedy of him killing somebody.
Yeah, and as Ed said, it's a tool. It's not just a prop. And if you treat it like it's just a prop, like it's a fake sword or something like that, you're gonna hurt people.
Well,
you could hurt yourself, but kill people too.
And what's even worse is these, Hollywood elites defending him saying, well, wait a minute, he's only being persecuted because he's anti-Republican, he's anti-gun. No, he killed a woman.
Yep.
He fired a gun and killed a woman, and prosecutors decided that was criminally culpable, and he's going to face the music legally, so to say.
And now Helena Hutchins' husband, Matt, and all of her family live without her because of that mistake.
Well, we just heard from Ed for a few minutes, but Ed was also featured on one of our podcasts, and we strongly encourage you to go to financialguysmedia.com, financialmediaguys.com. Tons of podcasts throughout the week, including one, a lengthier interview with Ed.
Yep, and we are going to take a quick break here, folks. If you'd like to reach us, chime in, 844-434-4. Alrighty, welcome back. You've got Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu live in studio today, folks. And we're going to shift our attention to taxes, something we just absolutely love, right, Stefan?
Yeah, love paying taxes in the People's Republic of New York. Thank you very much. I was so envious of Dave Hutchinson before living in Florida. I mean, your income goes up by 10%. Republicans are actually trying to do something about this right now. I mean, they are doing what they can when it comes to reducing taxes in the United States. So they proposed the Fair Tax Act of 2023. You had to think of it like a national sales tax and getting rid of payroll taxes, income taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes.
Okay, so create a uniform sales tax. So upon consumption of anything, you're going to pay a tax on it. Most goods you'd buy, they have a federal sales tax, right? That's what we would do, about 30%. It'd be similar to what we do in Erie County in New York State, right? We pay a sales tax on things. Would this actually help? Well, should help lower middle income families, right? They'd actually get sort of what we think of as a prebate check, right, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they get some cash to offset, the high price of goods. But, I mean, look, in full disclosure, there is zero chance of this becoming law. The Democratic-controlled Senate and Biden White House adamantly oppose. Now, that being said, Republicans are in Congress. They're moving full steam ahead to pass the Fair Tax Act, which would get rid of 87,000 IRS agents.
And when you think about all the costs it takes for the audits for those businesses, and when we're talking 87,000 agents doing multiple audits, add that to the price of goods. What's that going to do to inflation in the economy, which is already at historic levels? So they don't think about the downstream, secondary, and tertiary effects of their stupid policies. 87,000 IRS agents, we need 87,000 more CBP guys, Customs and Border Patrol folks, helping us with the migration crisis at the southern border. We don't need to disrupt our economy with 87,000 people picking through small businesses' pocketbooks.
But look, we cannot stress enough, you got to pay your taxes. This is never going to pass. And, this congressman mentions help, and there is no one no one in Western New York or this neck of the woods who's better at preparing people for paying their taxes and helping that through that process is Esther Goulias, who's on our live line now. Esther, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're great.
So what kind of advice do you have for folks now? I know a lot of companies at the end of the month, they're going to be sending out W-2s. What's the best advice for people? Because tax, you know, day, April 15th, it's going to be coming around the corner pretty quick.
Right. Well, the whole thing is, I think people should realize that a lot of the big credits that were on the 2021 return are gone for children. So be prepared to buckle up in the event that, like, for instance, the credit for kids under the age of six was $3,600. Now it's $2,000. So that's $1,600 extra you're going to pay in taxes. If you had one kid, if you had two kids, it's $3,200. That's extra taxes, not a deduction, extra taxes you'll pay. So there's that. And obviously, as the tax law changes that they put into effect in December, are for 2023, but it's very important because the changes that are affecting 2023 are for the clean energy deductions, and I want people to understand that these new credits can be up to like $3,200 to save you money on your taxes in 2023, but it affects you in 2023, but they're non-refundable credits. So if you pay no taxes, you're going to get no benefit for it. So you got to be careful about that. And then the other thing that's going to change in 2023 is the required minimum distribution is now moving up to age 73. And by 2033, it'll be 75. And the other good thing is the failure to take money out of your required minimum distribution in 2023 drops from 50% down to 25%. And if you're a really good person and you realize that you forgot to do it and you take it out right away out of your IRA that you missed it on, they reduce the penalty down to 10%. So those are just a few of the things.
Jeez, Esther, I got four kids. I'm ready to start my...
True, you know, and the daycare credit went from 50% refundable down to maximum now 30% non-refundable. So when Biden said there's no new taxes, they just took away the credits. That's all.
Right. Yeah, that's a nicer way of saying it, I guess. Hey, Esther, we had a lot of inflation the last couple of years. In fact, the cost of living adjustment for people on Social Security or age 62, not even taking the benefit, it was an 8.7% cost of living adjustment going into this year. Mm-hmm. How does that impact some of the opportunities that people that save into retirement plans or into their own IRAs, how does it affect them?
Well, I mean, they're just getting larger Social Security checks every month. And obviously, if you're somebody that has other income, more of it will be taxed. Because more of it will be taxable because there's more that will potentially fall over that $32,000 figure. So can't think of any for that inflation is just eating your pocketbook to death, I'll tell you.
Yeah, 8.7 is, it sounds like a farce when people say, gosh, eggs used to be 99 cents a dozen. They're $5 a dozen now. A lot of those limits, though, don't they get changed, like upward? Like they give, it's a bigger opportunity because the inflation rate doesn't
Tax bracket, because of the inflation, each tax bracket was expanded by that inflation figure. So more of your income is going to fall into the lower tax bracket, but everybody's getting more income to offset the cost of living as well. So It's kind of a vicious circle.
Esther, this is Stefan here. You obviously have an incredible wealth of information. You know taxes like no other. So what would you say to people who either are intimidated, they're afraid, they're not sure what to do about approaching a business like yours to say, it's okay, we're here to help, we have knowledge, but make sure that people actually take that first step and reach out to the experts who know what they're doing?
Well, I mean, the truth is, if you do it on your own, and you can, and you make a mistake, which you probably will, you will overpay, and they're not going to let you know. Or you could make one of those critical errors where you read the question wrong, you answer the question wrong, you put the wrong deduction in, and you don't even know until they send you a letter. So, I mean, you know, it's like anything. Help is available if you want help. We're happy to help, but it's very daunting. I was just thinking yesterday about how back in the day when I first started doing tax returns, it seemed very simple. They've just added layer on top of layer on top of layer. You know, starting in 2023, now if you're an employer, you have to involuntarily enroll all qualified employees into a 401k plan. I mean, all of those kind of things, if, you know, ignorance of the law is not bliss, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to your tax return, because it can affect so much in your tax, your financial future by not knowing what to do with everything. So, like I said, it ain't easy.
Esther, just one more thing. This Fair Tax Act of 2023, I mean, is it just a fantasy? Is this just them sort of the Republicans positioning themselves as, hey, we're conscious of what people go through and how much exorbitant taxes they pay? I mean, this is a farce, isn't it, having a national sales tax?
Well, I mean, I think that's the fairest thing to do would be a national sales tax. I don't think it'll happen, but I think it's the fairest thing to do because then you're taxing people that are under the radar. I mean, do you know how many people that are working for cash and nobody knows? But, of course, if they're buying something, a car, then at least you'd be able to get something that way, mm-hmm. you know? But what happens too many times is that they do a sales tax and an income tax. Now you're really stuck.
Yeah.
That's a damn good point. I never thought of that. Yeah. But regardless, Esther, people need to know. They've got to fill out forms this year and reach out to folks like you to pay their taxes, because even if the Fair Tax Act of 2023, which there's zero chance of Biden or the Democrats passing, people still need to fill out their tax forms this year.
Yeah.
Right. And I will tell you, if you have any questions, you can go to our website at egtax.com. We answer questions at no charge. We're here to help you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Esther, for joining us, folks.
All right.
If you would like to listen to more of Esther and her outstanding all-star team, stay tuned to WBEN. You'll be hearing her at 3 o'clock. Chris Fabian, Tiffany Fabian. You could also find her at 716-632-7886. Corporate headquarters right there at 1890 Colvin Boulevard, Tonawanda, New York. Again, Esther Gulyas, the tax lady.
And I agree in principle. I mean, it's called the Fair Tax Act of 2023 for mm-hmm. a reason. Everyone pays their fair share. For the most part, everyone pays the same rate. And abolishing 87,000 IRS agents, let me tell you, they're not being put on the government payroll to be our friend. They're putting on the government payroll to take our money and give it to the government. So no love lost between any conservative in the weaponization of the IRS when it comes to going after political enemies. It's been proven they've done that before. And look, lower and middle class families would get, Mike, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. this prebate check to mm-hmm. offset any kind of exorbitant fees or prices or the cost of goods by taxing goods with a federal sales tax. I think it's a great idea, but you know, Biden, the Democrats in the Senate will never let it happen. It'll never see the light of day.
Totally agree. I think it's, again, just political, right? It's always political in Washington. They don't seem to solve problems. How about they actually get spending under control, you know, so that every tax dollar that is received, however they get it from us, is actually put to the right use, like securing the southern border, for goodness sake. Again, Esther Gulyas, EG Tax. Just a fabulous all-star team, and they are going to be busy, folks. So get an appointment now with Esther and one of her fabulous team members. There's so many EG Tax locations. There's got to be one probably right around your corner. Folks, if you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. You can find everything, including this show, our podcasts, on the Financial Guys site called financialguysmedia.com. And that's, again, financialguysmedia.com. We're coming up on a hard break, but don't go away, folks. We got one more hour. Mike Hayflick, Stefan Mihailu, the Financial Guys Media Network.
We are the Financial Guys, the place where politics meets money.
With local financial experts Glenn Wiggle.
This guy clearly looks like a dude.
And Mike Lomas.
The New York Times defending him. They said he was a stroke of genius.
It's the Financial Guys radio program.
As soon as some liberal who's sitting in his underwear eating Pop-Tarts in mom's basement goes, I don't like that show.
And they hired him just because he dressed up like a girl.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Welcome back. You've actually got Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu in for the outstanding, 25 years running radio show here. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle. They've always done such a great job, like really conservative leaders and a great voice for all of us to hear about limited government and responsible spending and many of the things we've actually talked about today.
And holding the president accountable for having classified documents in his garage.
How about that? You know, is this a deja vu moment? I mean, I feel like we had just gone through this. The Secret Service is now ready to hand over names of visitors to the Biden's personal residences.
Wait a minute. I thought they didn't have logs.
They don't have logs. But it seems like the pressure is coming here, right? They regularly do collect and keep names of those that have visited all these homes that the president and his wife seem to accumulate here.
And they're charging Hunter Biden $50,000 a month for?
Yeah. You know, how did they enrich themselves? Well, that's a whole nother segment, perhaps. But what about this? Oh, House Oversight Committee. Are they going to actually get some cooperation? Doesn't seem like it. The White House is refusing to answer reporter questions on this.
I mean, don't you think the timing is just oh so curious? I mean, come on. So President Biden was asked about this, and ironically, he was standing in front of California Governor Gavin Newsom. He said he did nothing wrong. But meanwhile, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, he believes the Democratic deep state is setting Biden up to get rid of him and actually have Newsom run for president.
I think you're going to find there's nothing there. I have no regrets. I'm following what the lawyers have told me they want me to do. It's exactly what we're doing. There's no there. Thank you.
Maybe the deep state and a lot of these Democrats have figured out that they'd rather roll with Gavin Newsom than Joe Biden. The Republicans might not even have to help the Democrats take out their trash.
Well, tell us how you really feel. Well, a Florida resident, former East Aurora resident who's on the live line with us now and who is very close to Donald Trump is your friend and mine, Michael Caputo. He is in the Sunshine State. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm just sitting out on the terrace counting the alligators.
We're shoveling snow and you're counting alligators.
Since we're talking about the swamp, it felt good to call in.
It's scary enough, Michael, to hear that there might be one alligator nearby. When you say watching the alligators, it kind of makes me feel like I should be ready to sprint down the road.
I'll tell you, after all the alligators from the real swamp in Washington came after me and my family, we feel pretty safe here.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I went to visit you last year, I sent our family pictures of Maxim, our son, and I, around some of the alligators by your house. And they're like, oh, my God, what are you doing? You're never seeing Caputo again. But it's legit. They're down there. But, hey, so real quickly, obviously, Michael, you are very close to President Trump. Don't you think it is a height of hypocrisy that the Democratic Party and Joe Biden's, you know, arm of law enforcement, they raid Donald Trump, they raid his wife's bedroom, and yet President Biden is treated with kid gloves?
Well, I mean, I just spent time with President Trump on Friday morning. My wife's birthday was this week, and we spent it at Mar-a-Lago. And I can tell you, I think the president believes this is a distraction from much bigger problems. You know, first of all, locating all of these inconveniently located classified documents and, you know, probably some more in his golf cart, I don't know where else, clearly absolves Donald Trump of any kind of coming indictment and all the walls that are closing in on him that the Democrats have been talking about for quite some time. Obviously, are not closing in on him if they're not going to close in on Biden. But, you know, I agree with Gaetz. I agree with others who have said, you know, Tucker Carlson, who said this is, you know, the Democratic insiders disposing of Joe Biden. He served his purpose. They know that he's probably can't beat Donald. He probably can't beat Trump. He can't beat DeSantis. He can't beat, you know, anyone at all in running for reelection. He's practically destroyed America in just over 2 years, right? But this is a convenient way to get rid of them. Really, what's out there, you know, I wrote a book about it called The Ukraine Hoax. The Biden family has been enriching itself. You guys mentioned it in the preamble to the segment. For quite some time, they're multi-millionaires. The son is paying the father exorbitant rents, you know, almost 10 times more than the house is worth on a monthly basis for over a year. There is something going on here, and this is the problem. If you can get rid of Joe Biden with simple classification violations, you know, security clearance violations like this, you know, there are people who have done this kind of thing who actually spent time in jail, right? You don't really have to continue looking into the scam that he's been pulling in Ukraine and other places, China. I mean, they're multimillionaires now. Joe Biden didn't have two nickels to rub together just a matter of a couple of years ago. And the problem is this. This system, this grift that Joe Biden and Hunter and Joe's brother have gotten wealthy off of, the rest of the system has gotten wealthy off of it as well. Hunter wasn't the only one serving on the board of Burisma, who was from an American political family. Hunter's not the only one who's cashing in China, who's the son of an American political family. And make no mistake, while it sounds, you know, there's a lot of Democrats who are neck deep in this stuff, there are Republicans out there playing the same game as well. Look no further than Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, even with President Biden, the line I remember is, you know, take care of the big guy or make sure the big guy is taken care of. And, hey, Michael, speaking of big guy, you mentioned you're with President Trump on Friday. What's his mood like? What's his demeanor like? And I'm not just talking about, like, hey, is he going to run for president or not, but especially after in light of the document controversy with President Biden, what's President Trump's mood like? How was he on Friday?
I would compare it to 1989. I first met him in 1988, and I was his driver when he was in Washington in 1989. I've known him for a long time. And all those years, if I had to walk across an airport tarmac with him, I was huffing and puffing. I couldn't keep up. He's a very large man with a very large stride and a lot of energy, a surreal amount of energy. And I can tell you, after serving in the White House during COVID, as horrible as that was, you know, that was a demeaning, degrading, destable. It was just a horrible impact on all of us, from the president all the way down to lowly people like me. It tore us all apart. Donald Trump right now has more energy than I've seen him with for 20 years plus, 40 years. Honest to God, he's better now than he was in 2020. And, you know, as they said about Richard Nixon, tanned, rested, and ready. And when I saw him, he was safely coated in all kinds of sunscreen on his way to the golf course. This man's looking for some action.
Michael, Mike Hayflick here. Thanks again for joining us. I have a question, actually a two-part question about Trump. He had less success with some of those candidates that he backed for some of the congressional races this past, you know, season. And I just wonder, what's his take on that? Does he feel like he still is as kind of looked to as the conservative leader, the GOP's leader? Or is he thinking, boy, I've got some work to do?
I think it's the latter. You know, a sitting president, a recent president, always takes great risk with their endorsements. The one thing you saw Donald Trump do that you don't see a lot of other past presidents, the past, you know, statewide and national office holders do, is he endorsed in very difficult races. Races like the Pennsylvania governor's race, where Mastriano was down by 20 points. He went out and risked his name and his endorsement to try to help people when they really needed it. Donald Trump didn't have the success of, let's say, a George H.W. Bush, but George H.W. Bush and his father, 41, they played it safe on endorsements, very safe on endorsements. Donald Trump really tried to move the needle. And, you know, 2020 was a very difficult cycle for a lot of reasons. The president will tell you chapter and verse as to why he thinks it didn't work as well. I think there's plenty of blame to go around. Certainly some rests on his shoulders. But he has an immutable support of 35% in the Republican Party base. 35% of reliable primary voters will never get off of Donald Trump. And if it's a 6-7-way race, which it looks like it's going to be, unless there's some kind of organized exit of some of these also run candidates, Donald Trump is probably going to be the nominee. And that's why you see Ron DeSantis. By the way, Ron DeSantis is the reason I moved to Florida. You know, when Antifa was roaming around on my property in East Aurora making threats against my daughters, I knew if I defended my home, I was probably going to go to jail. Not in Florida, my friends. Down here, if Antifa comes on my property and I defend my family, Ron DeSantis will build a statue of me in Tallahassee. That's a different kind of state. But I think, and I like Ron DeSantis very much, I think he's looking at the 35% of immutable support in the Republican primary as perhaps even insurmountable. He's a very canny, very smart politician, also very young. So I think Donald Trump is cautious. You're seeing him in the next couple of days start announcing his leadership in South Carolina. He's got a pretty strong lineup. I know a lot of people are complaining that he's appointing Lindsey Graham as one of his leaders in the state of South Carolina. But in the state of South Carolina, Lindsey Graham is a winner. It's a state-by-state decision.
And isn't that the challenging part, though, for Republicans? It's almost a blessing that there's two potentially incredibly strong front runners, whether it's Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And Michael, obviously, you know both very well. The fact that, you know, and I'm not saying you got any kind of insight in, you know, one quick meeting with the president, but is there any kind of potential, whether it's frustration or even a fear, that both of these guys are in a primary and they're just beating the hell out of each other?
Well, yeah, I think so. And I think that's what DeSantis is a little bit reticent about. I mean, Donald Trump is a fighter. Honest to God, if some of these people are saying, oh my gosh, he's calling DeSantis the sanctimonious, why would he ever do that? Were you not alive in 2016? Because he destroyed 14 other candidates in similar fashion. This is going to be, it's going to be a primary. There are some candidates that are going to get in, like, let's say, Kristi Noem, who really are trying to position themselves for vice president. But there is going to be a battle. If Chris Christie gets in, he's always, you know, the perennial potential candidate. He's going to take shots at Donald Trump. That'll be fun to watch. Can you imagine that nickname? But from my perspective, the Republican Party, even though they claim that we don't like primaries, if there's not an incumbent president, and as much as Donald Trump would like to be considered an incumbent president, he is technically not, right? There is going to be a primary. Republicans love primaries. Because here's the thing. Mike, you know this. Stefan, you know this. This swamp needs to be drained. And what, you know, Matt Gaetz and the others in the Rump Caucus, the Freedom Caucus of the House of Representatives, Republicans did by you know, holding the leadership's feet to the fire, holding McCarthy's feet to the fire, we know there's going to be oversight. We know it's going to be aggressive. We need strong oversight. Because we learned from Donald Trump's era as president that if you play the same, if you try to play in their ballpark, right, if you try to work with Mitch McConnell, they're going to set you up to lose. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, let me tell you something. I know Donald Trump very fairly well during the years when he was in Atlantic City, had a couple of casinos. That was a really tough time economically. All the casinos there melted down. He actually lost the whole helicopter load of his executives in an accident. It was a terrible time for the Trump organization. But he learned his lessons from those bankrupts, right? He knew, you know, he knew what he did wrong and what he did right. And he took himself down to places like Florida, where he's been very, very successful in the development business. Donald Trump learns from his mistakes. He absolutely does.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of mistakes that he made. He may not admit them, right? But a new Donald Trump presidency would be very aggressive, and you'll see a different kind of trajectory.
Well, Michael, Trump and DeSantis are tremendous leaders. They are problem solvers. And despite what you said earlier, by the way, you thought that this country had gone to hell in a handbasket over the last 2 years. Joe Biden disagrees. Quote, 2 years in, and I've never been more optimistic about America's future. I'm optimistic about America's future too, Joe, but it won't be with you at the head of the leadership in the White House. So
amen to that.
We right. can't thank you enough, Michael, for joining us.
And Michael, where can we find, because I know you're heavily involved with Americano Media, where can folks find that?
That's AmericanoMedia.com. We're a nationwide Hispanic, Spanish language conservative network. The Hispanics are moving to the right. They're the only a demographic of significance that's moving toward the Republican Party. My friends and I started the Spanish Language Network. So these conservative Hispanics who had no media, Univision, Telemundo, completely to the left, now they got something to listen to, something that resonates their values, and we're trying to encourage more of them to move to the right.
Awesome.
AmericanoMedia.com.
Awesome. Good to hear from you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. I'm sorry, it's 84 here.
You son of a gun. All right, Michael Caputo, thanks again. And, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk to one of our best buddies, Michael Sparaza. Don't go away. He's got blockbuster news to share. You've got Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu on the Financial Guys Media Network. All righty, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys, Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu, live in studio today. Stefan, you're here for someone who just seemingly had to take a day off. And, I mean, I thought we were all friends. I thought he would have our backs.
I can't believe I'm even here.
Well, I mean, thank God somebody seems to care about this show and informing people, right?
And work.
Oh, my. Well, we have to bring on managing partner of TFG Home and Auto, Michael Sparaza. You've got some explaining to do.
Yeah, I had to take a couple days off and a Saturday show off. Thankfully, my wife is now back at home with our baby, healthy. First baby for us, so we're really excited.
Did you keep the receipt? Because I think you got 90 days.
No, I can't trade this one in, Stefan. I love her too much. I can't trade her in. Can't do it.
Give us some stats. We want names. We want heights or lengths. I guess you say length because the poor little girl isn't standing yet, but... give us all the details.
Yeah, Via Marie Sparaza. She was born earlier this week and 21 inches long and about 7.5 pounds. So we are beyond excited. I'm proud of my wife. She did a heck of a job, and I give her all the credit in the world because us men just can't do that. Not going to happen.
Now, in all seriousness, I saw some photos, and your daughter is just absolutely stunning. So is there a truth to the rumor that you're going to be forced to take a 23andMe test, or that your kid looks just like the Amazon delivery guy because she's beautiful and you're not?
That's possible, and I'll leave that up to my wife. If she thinks that we got to go that route, we can. You're definitely right, though, Stefan. She's a beautiful little girl, and I couldn't be luckier, and I'm just happy baby and mom are healthy. That's all that matters.
I'll tell you what, I ran into, you know, proud grandpa Charlie, and I honestly think there was a glow about him, right? A bigger glow than he usually has, and it's brought so much joy, you know that, not only to you both, all of your moms, the grandmas, grandpas, but honestly, to all of your very good friends like us, and honestly, kudos to Sarah. Holy cow, we saw her as she was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And yep. I'm so happy for you both. You know we love you. And Sarah and the baby are now home. Everyone's well.
That's right. We're home. We got home yesterday. Everybody's well. And, you know, obviously it's quite the experience for those that have gone through it. It's a very crazy experience, very hectic for those few days. And once it's over, it truly is a miracle. And you're just happy that everybody's healthy. And obviously the baby is happy and healthy, and my wife is doing well. So got a long road now. Obviously won't be sleeping too well. Stefan, you know all about that. Won't be sleeping too well. And here we are. Looking forward to it, though.
Me and the 97 kids that I know about. So are you actually going to come back to work so I can go home?
Yes. I will relieve you. Well, I'll see you Monday, Stefan. We got a podcast to record. So I'll see you Monday. Hey, Flick, I'll see you on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yep.
And then I'll give you your pink slip, Stefan.
Hey, in all seriousness, that is a beautiful baby, you know, and I love you to death and your amazing wife to death. Your daughter is absolutely beautiful. She's got a full head of hair. It was like, wow, that is a good looking kid. Because there are some ugly babies out there. There are some ugly babies out there. Let's be honest. Yours is not one of them.
I appreciate that, guys. I obviously love you both. Well, Ms. Klein, everybody at the office. I look forward to getting back to the office, back in the grind with you guys. But glad to call in today. Like I said, the happy dad over here. Happy everybody's healthy, happy. And we will see you guys and all the listeners very soon.
Mike, when I zoomed in on that picture of that baby, I have to tell you, there was this little tiny little smirk, almost like a little mischievous grin. So I have a feeling she's going to be a handful, but a wonderful handful.
I have that same feeling. She knows how to. She already started getting under my dad's skin a little bit. So that's great. So I always love to see him getting beat up by the kids. And you'll appreciate this, Hayflick. He just brought me a nice big pot of pasta fagioli for later this week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, nice.
Hey, and if she's not sleeping, don't knock NyQuil. Okay, I'm just saying.
No. I'm since Tuesday, I'm at about 45 to an hour a night. So I'm just getting used to that. I'll be all right, though.
That's
I'll
a lot.
That's what caffeine's for, buddy.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah, we're so thrilled for you, man. Seriously, your daughter is just absolutely beautiful. You know, your wife is just a great, great woman. Is going to be a great mom, and the entire team is just thrilled for you, buddy. She's a beauty. She's a great, great baby.
Yeah, we'll see you soon back here in the 305 Spindrift, okay?
I appreciate that, guys. Much love to you guys and all the TFT family and all the listeners. Thanks so much.
You got it, buddy. All right, folks, if you need us throughout the week, people like Mike Spiraza and his great, great team in the TFG home and auto area, 833-FIN-GUYS. He can help you here in New York and even in Florida. We've had a couple guests from Florida on. We are coming up on a hard break. We'll be right back. You've got Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu, the Financial Guys, on the Financial Guys Media Network. All righty, welcome back. You've got Mike Hayflick and Stefan Mihailu. Our last half hour with you, Big Bills weekend. Bills Bengals, and they will, in my opinion, get a full game in this time. The DeMar Hamlin incident obviously shortened that game. It was almost unprecedented, I think, that they cancel a game, and certainly warranted. Thank God DeMar Hamlin is doing well again. I guess he's home. He's been at the Bills field, whatever. They've seen him. He's around. It's amazing. It's a great story. Go Bills against the Bengals tomorrow. We also have an estate planning transferring wealth seminar that's on February 8th, 6:15, in person or online. You can register at thefinancialguys.com/events. Oh, boy. So now, Stefan, we have the House controlled by the GOP. Will they actually do anything sensible?
And that's one of the big things with Kevin McCarthy being Speaker. That's the vote's out of the way. It's behind them. And now they're moving on to a conservative agenda like the Born Alive bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, it requires abortionists to save the life of a baby that is born during a botched abortion. I can't even believe that we're talking about a bill like this. It's really simple. If a baby's born alive during an attempted abortion, doctors cannot live that living, breathing baby to die. But this is how sick and depraved the radical left is. This is left-wing lunatic Congressman Jerry Nadler. He opposed the Born Alive bill. You're not going to believe the reason why. He not only wants that baby born alive to die, but insanely claims that seeking medical attention for a baby born alive will kill it.
The problem with this bill is that it endangers some infants by stating that that infant must immediately be brought to the hospital, where, depending on the circumstances, that may be the right thing to do for the health and survival of that infant, or it may not.
This is what Republicans are dealing with in Washington. This is what the pro-life movement is dealing with. And joining us on the live line now is Cheryl Kaleri. She's with the Gianna Mala Pregnancy Center all throughout Buffalo, New York, and also the Buffalo Catholic Diocese. Cheryl, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So before we get to the March for Life and your pregnancy center, I do want to get your take when it comes to the Born Alive bill and why that's so important for the pro-life movement.
Well, many people think because of the overturn of Roe v. Wade that our work is done. And I beg to differ. First of all life matters at any stage. And as you can see, we have found ourselves in a country in a situation where many lives have been considered, quote unquote, throwaway, whether it be this baby born alive, through a failed abortion, or at the end of life where people are dealing with physician assisted suicide and some of the other things that are coming forth. So more than ever, I think we need to educate and really let people know how important it is that they learn about these bills, about the policies that are being brought forward, so that they can make an educated vote.
So, Cheryl, this is Stefan. So after almost 50 years of prayer, fasting, Roe versus Wade was overturned. You know, Christians, Catholics from all over the country and the world gathered in Washington for the March for Life. So how was it different this year when it comes to the message of, you know, the next steps of a post-Roe America compared to years past?
Yes. I, quite frankly, didn't even know what to expect myself other than literally I just got back from Washington and home at 2 o'clock. So I'm happy to be here. Mm. It was unbelievably invigorating. I can't tell you how many young people, which was so encouraging. We had so many young women and men, and particularly men, and from men's schools, young boys. And it really was exciting to see them have a voice and to be able to listen to some of the unbelievable speakers that we had at the march this year. Jonathan Rumi, who was played Jesus in The Chosen. We had the NFL coach, Tony Dungy, and his wife. He's speaking about his purpose in the NFL and what happened with DeMar, but also his wife and their beautiful, you know, adoption story. Democrat, state Republican Trini McGee, she's on fire for life, and it's nice to see, a pro-life Democrat. And my highlight for me, of course, was the daughter of St. Gianna Beretta Mola, Gianna Emanuela, who I do have the honor and privilege of knowing. So the speeches were unbelievable. They're all going to be up on our website so that people can listen to them if they did happen to miss them.
Cheryl, Mike Hayflick, a question for you about Tony Dungy. You mentioned being there. I mean, it takes so much courage. It takes just so much love in your heart to do what you do and to do what Tony Dungy did, especially in the, I guess, you know, with the resistance, so to speak. I mean, it's so easy to stay quiet on issues, right? You can just quietly complain. You can even pray in your own homes, but not really be that much involved. Tony Dungy being there, I thought that was pretty courageous. What do you think about the attacks on someone like him?
Well, again, the attacks come all the time when people are trying to do good works. I have found myself when trying to speak up for the voiceless and for others, you do take criticism. But I prefer to look at it as who's out there that we can change their heart and mind. Who is going to be in that audience that maybe was forced, let's say they were going to get service hours from school, so they went to the March for Life but had no interest. But they were there, and they were inspired by some of the things that they heard. I know myself, for me personally, when I was watching that Cincy game and DeMar went down right away, the first thing I said to my husband was three. He's got the Trinity, and have since talked about miracles. So I think it was really, it didn't matter if you were of faith, if you were of no faith. When did you see the country get down on their knees and pray? And so that alone, I think, has made a huge impact and paved the way for people like Tony to say, hey, I can speak up about this. It's okay. And it was very courageous.
Amen to that. And then last question for you, Cheryl. You know, I, as you know, you and I are friends. I am very strongly pro-life. And one of the things that is so agitating when the anti-life crowd says, well, wait a minute. What about you Catholics? What about you Christians? Are you going to take care of that baby if it's born? And your St. Gianna Mala Center, the answer is yes. The Catholic Church and others have programs like yours that do care for moms and do care for babies. So for people who aren't familiar with the St. Gianna Mala Center, can you explain exactly how you serve mothers and babies in your capacity?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm blessed. Yes, I started the St. Gianna Outreach Centers, you know, over 14 years ago now. We now have 6 locations, and we've helped over 1,900 families. They can get referred to us from any faith or no faith. Like I said, it's really to serve those that are in need. I felt that we do a good job of telling people they should choose life, but we as a people need to support women, men, and families if they decide to do this. So we supply them with, first of all, the basics, things as simple as diapers and bottles and things like that. But more importantly, connect them to the services that are available to them. Try to help them finish their education, find housing, to really empower, not enable, to really change the cycle. And from that, the Mother Teresa Home was born, where in the last 7 years, on the east side of Buffalo, my husband and I reside, and we've had over 60 moms and 64 babies come through our home. So I know the need is out there. People have it within them. They just need people to care and people to support them. Nobody ever has come to me and said that they've decided to, you know, terminate a pregnancy because they wanted to. It's always because they felt they didn't have a choice. And my staff is just phenomenal with helping each and every one of these women and mentoring them. Not just when the child is a baby, but some of them, we go to their birthday parties at 8 years old, 9 years old. So we're in contact with these moms, which is a good thing. They have a support system.
Amen to that. Cheryl Kaleri from the St. Gianna Mala Center, and also, too, incredibly important to pray for you, pray for your ministry, and pray for our bishop.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I know Bishop Mike Fisher will appreciate that as well. We have a lot of work to do, but we're willing to roll up our sleeves and do it. So please consider joining us in this fight for life.
Amen to that. Cheryl, thank you so much. I know, you know, obviously Mike Spiraza was on the line talking about his baby daughter. Russ Thompson, you know, very involved in the conservative community. He welcomed grandson number 7 born at 2:30
wow.
this morning.
Great Derek Gar show. I love it.
All right,
love
Cheryl,
it.
You're like the good luck charm. Everyone's popping out babies.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl.
I have a mom due any day here, too. So
oh,
we'll
wonderful.
Pray for each other.
Amen to that. Thanks, Cheryl.
All right.
Thank
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Oh, wonderful woman. And you could just tell she works out of love. She's so articulate. And you know what I like, Stefan? In this world of people who just don't seem to have solutions, Cheryl and her group offer solutions for life. What else could you do in life better than that, right? What else?
And if you go to the Google machine, find them on social media, St. Gianna Mala Center. My wife and I are involved with their group. They do amazing work for moms who are on the brink of, okay, am I going to have this baby or not? Am I going to abort this baby? And the love and support given to these moms, and they need it. The Catholic Church and people like Cheryl, they are in the fight. They are saving lives.
No doubt. And folks, we have a really awesome team that we love and care for the clients we work with. If you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. Do you have a financial plan? Have you considered retiring soon? And you don't have a retirement income plan, which is actually different than financial plans. Do you need any help with the management of your retirement accounts, investment accounts? You know, do you have an advisor? Let me ask you this. Do you have an advisor? Are they actually reaching out to you? I know it sounds funny, Stefan, but I literally will have people come to see us. They've heard of us. They've seen our show, podcast, listen to our show, and they say, do you guys actually do reviews? Like, do you ever reach out to us? I said, oh, my goodness, yes, you know, at least every 6 months. But, folks, if you need help, if you need a team of specialists, wealth managers, chartered financial analysts, Peter Nielsen, John Thurr, Paul Meeks, certified Social Security claiming strategists, AHIP certified health insurance agents to help you during those Medicare years, home and auto insurance led by our managing partner, Mike Spiraza. We just heard from him.
And he needs the money. He's got to buy diapers and formula. So
you got to come and support the Spiraza family, okay? Folks, use us as a resource, 833-FIN-GUYS. We're going to take a quick break. We have one more segment. Big Bills weekend here, seeing if we can get to that AFC championship. But not yet. We got a couple games today. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate hopefully a Bills victory. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have one more segment left. Mike Hayflick, Stefan Mihailu on the Financial Guys Media Network. All righty, welcome back. You've got Mike Hayflick, Stefan Mihailu, our last segment here, live in studio today, in for Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle. celebrating today Mike Speraza, Sarah Speraza, and their beautiful, beautiful new baby born this week via Marie.
She's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous stunning. Baby. Congratulations, Mike.
and as Stefan said earlier, there are some ugly babies out there.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on. Let's all fess up. You know, sometimes you look and you go,
whoa.
Well, good luck and congratulations.
Right.
But this is an absolutely stunningly beautiful baby, and we all can't be more happy about this.
And Russ Thompson having a grandson. God bless him and his family and all those prayers, you know, for them and for Cheryl Kaleri and their ministry, caring of all beautiful babies.
Tremendous. We're going to hit the phone lines to our wonderful and patient, frequent caller, Kevin from Pendleton. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen.
Right. Wait a minute. Wait. Did you say gentlemen? Did you say gentlemen? I don't know if there's any on this side of the microphone, buddy. I know there's one who's calling in.
Yeah, all the best. All the best to you for 2023. I'll be quick here because you're almost winding down.
You got it.
You know, listen, to you know, all the best to Mike here in Florida. But you know something, I'll follow up with Kevin McCarthy. But before I do, you know what, in relation to Donald Trump, you guys are talking about President Trump and so on. Okay, look, I appreciate what President Trump did in his first term and everything and what he attempted to do and what he may have accomplished. But I'll tell you something, gentlemen. Winning the primary is one thing. When it comes to the presidency, you cannot win the presidency with just Republicans. You need the independents vote, and you also need the Reagan Democrats or Dixie Democrats and other independent-thinking Democrats and Republicans. And I can tell you for a fact, and you know this, the data is there, President Trump lost the independent support that he had the first time. Again, that's my humble opinion, okay? But you could look up the data, and I know a number of Republicans who are definitely going to go for Ron DeSantis, right? And as far as I'm concerned, I think he's the man we need to move on. So that's my opinion. But anyway, get on to the Kevin McCarthy situation. Look, we have three patriotic congressmen. Now, I know, Stefan, you said the speakership is behind us and stuff, but here's what, though. The thing about it is that We have three patriotic congressmen who were the only voices of the American people who said, among myself too, right, even calling some of our representatives, right, do not put Kevin McCarthy in there, okay? But we have to thank three congressmen, the Navy SEAL, Eli Crane of Arizona 2, a financial analyst, Bob Good of Virginia 5, and a businessman, Matt Rosendale of Montana number 2. No way was the New York delegation, where I'm saying Claudia Tinney of NY23 and even your client, Stefan with Big Dog, Langworthy, not so worthy, okay? None of them, we didn't hear a peep from any of them. They just went along and didn't listen to their constituents who called and told them, don't vote for McCarthy. But look, it is what it is, right? But you know what? Here's the final nail in the coffin as far as I'm concerned. When it comes to Santos, we didn't hear a peep from any of the New York folks except maybe Molinaro of New York 19, okay? But didn't hear anything from Tenney, nothing from Langworthy. So what this leadership is saying in the Republican leadership, even locally, Bobby Ort, I didn't hear anything. They are saying it's okay to lie, cheat, steal, do whatever you can do to get in Congress, once you're a Republican, or anything in life. Again, that's my opinion. But, gentlemen, I beg to yield. Anyway, have a great weekend. Go Bills. God bless you.
Go Bills. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's my personal opinion is I think it's wonderful that Kevin McCarthy is Speaker. And as I said before, and Kevin mentioned that, the vote is behind us. He's in charge. And now they're actually leading and doing great work in Washington, holding President Biden accountable. And you know, I think the world of our local delegation. I think the world of Nick Langworthy as our congressman and Claudia mm-hmm. Tenney and all of those folks. And, you know, we certainly appreciate any voices when it comes to our show and things of that nature. Now, one of the we want to end this show in our segment, and it's actually titled Liberal Lunatics. Don't you love it?
I love it.
So Hayflick and I wanted to end on just some liberal lunacy. So the first clip we're going to play right now is Minnesota State Representative Sandra Feist. Can you believe that she's making this argument?
No, and I mean, you know, as we were talking about the Born Alive bill, like, isn't there, it seemed like years ago there were things that we could all agree on, like the a newborn baby not being let to be, you know, to be killed or to die on a table. But here's another one, right?
Yeah, she's arguing that not all students who menstruate are female, and she's fighting to include feminine hygiene products in all bathrooms, grades 4 through 12.
Second, not all students who menstruate are female. We need to make sure that all students have access to these products. There are obviously less non-female menstruating students, and therefore their usage will be much lower. And that was actually calculated into the cost of this and how much we decided to fund it. And so we do not expect that the non-female menstruating students will use these products as much as the students using female bathrooms, but it's important to have them there. And that brings me to the social emotional reasons for that. These students who are not female, who menstruate, face a greater stigma and barrier to asking for these products. And so providing them in an easily accessible place in all student bathrooms is particularly important for those students.
But Rachel Pepper, who's the author of The Transgender Child, said, "Hold my beer, hold my beer." Now, this Rachel Pepper, she's a therapist whose website states because of COVID, she only sees patients via Zoom. Now, she's on a panel discussion. Listen to this. She believes, and this was unbelievable, that people have to cut friends and family out of their lives if they're skeptical about their trans 4-year-old child.
So how do we help skeptical teachers and extended family members support a very young trans kiddo, age 4?
You know, at that age, parents have a lot of choice generally. Sometimes families have to make hard decisions because there may be people in extended families who are toxic and who are not safe people for those children to be around. So sometimes families have to write a letter sort of explaining if you're not on board, and you don't have to approve, but if you're not on board with being polite or being caring when we see you, we will not be able to have you in our life.
I have to hand it to you, Stefan. This is really difficult to figure out who wins the lunacy award, honestly.
Rachel Pepper or Minnesota State Representative Sandra Feist claiming that not all students who menstruate are female, and you've got to cut off your family if they at least even have a conversation about your 4-year-old trans child.
Listen, I want to be real clear here. Stefan and I are not experts, specialists on menstruation.
No!
However, I can tell you, since we do not menstruate, we can tell you that we do not need those feminine products in our bathrooms, okay? We do not.
Or how about the you know, extreme radical left who makes the argument that, yes, men can get pregnant. No, they cannot.
They cannot.
No, they cannot.
It's pretty clear.
And what 4-year-old is having a conversation with someone about whether or not they're trans? I've got a 4-year-old. The last thing they've ever discussed is, okay, am I a transsexual?
No.
At all. The hell are these people thinking?
I have no idea. And the way they make it such an analysis, right? They make it like sound like such an important study, and we've done research, and you know, oh yeah, just cut out all those other friends and family members if they don't think that they believe the same things you do about your 4-year-old who has confusion about male and female. Do they even understand that yet?
They're 4 years old, for crying out loud.
These are liberal lunatics, folks. They are absolutely lunatics.
And think about it. The state rep in Minnesota talking about, okay, not all students who menstruate are female. That's what they're focused on.
Yeah.
Not education or cutting taxes.
Absolutely. Crazy. Folks, we're coming up on the end of our show. So much fun to be here. Stefan, great time. Bills, you got to beat the Bengals. Come on, we got to get against those Chiefs or
Go
Jaguars.
Bills.
And thanks for tuning in today, folks. Thanks to all of our guests, our callers. Remember to find all of our TFG podcasts at financialguysmedia.com. That's financialguysmedia.com. Stay tuned for Esther, the tax lady, and her team. Thanks for listening to the Financial Guys Media Network.